tonight.
And welcome back to We Digress. And as you noticed, I'm usurping things yet again. Long story be told, in a short form, Darth Blasphemous got real-life aggro hella hard. He's currently working 12-hour shifts right now trying to make ends meet, so for him being all responsible and stuff, I can't blame him. Also in news, we've got our firstie. I know it's not that big, but Mr. Reynolds down in Tacoma is our first Facebook like. So if you're listening to this, David, you can now brag that you're firsties to like us. Which we're saying that because nobody in the BFG project knows you that I know of. And we've talked about it and we're like, holy crap, that's like the first person we don't know. So yes, the disease is spreading. BFG will be known all over. Isn't it awesome? On top of that, Kazarkan has gotten a hookup with Purple Hippo, and he's going to be doing something really cool here in the future with them, which is a Extra Life live stream event going on YouTube. And Purple Hippo, he's going to be a guest star on their deal, so if you guys would look them up, maybe contribute to this, because their proceeds that they're getting for donations are going down to a Seattle Children's Hospital. So they gave us a shout out, and I'm just going to return the favor, and they're doing something really cool on that part, so I'm going to totally back them up. Anyway, I've been thinking here, now that my workday is over and we're doing this podcast a day late and a dollar short, let's talk about villains, or playing villains. So I'm going to just prattle on for the next hour or so, and maybe there will be a pro tip in here, maybe there won't. But I'll give you some food for thought while I drink my adult beverage that tastes nothing like adults, and smoke a few cigarettes and just mumble on. If you're a GM and you find any of these pro tips helpful, feel free to strap your player down and force them to listen to this podcast. So we're going to begin with the very basics here, which is morality. And given that games are an abstract system, like with hit points, it is an abstract system for how well you can stay in the fight, you know, anything over one hit point, good to go. Again, morality is an abstract system in most gaming systems. And you'll find that, of course, with the tried and true classic Dungeons & Dragons, this is the source of a lot of arguments. I don't really want to start up an argument on this. I just realized where I'm going with it. But if morality in the game system is an abstract, this is, you think about it, you know, when you get up, how many different alignments you can shift through throughout the day. I mean, if you're trying at work to screw over a coworker to make yourself look better, you're pretty much doing something that's lawful evil, according to the Dungeons & Dragons system. But at the same token, when you get home and the old lady, she's tired, she's tuckered out, and you decide to take care of the kid, well, then you're being more neutral good. You know, so throughout the day, a person can go through a lot of swings, and with a alignment-based system, whether it's Palladium, whether it's TSR, or any of those systems, really, this is who you're defaulting to when the chips are down on the table. So you're not really worried about background actions. It's just like what you are doing at that moment. Now, as far as morality goes, when you're playing the villain, one thing I've noticed a lot of players make a mistake on, and I am guilty of this, so feel free to take my two decades of gaming experience and run with it, is people tend to ham it up. They take it too far. And let me relight my cigarette here. Yummy nicotine. And the sound of my lighter hitting the desk. Anyway, when you ham up your evil character, you're taking it a bit far. And this is one of the first things that you really shouldn't do. And it is perfectly feasible, and I could challenge almost any GM out there to let me play a chaotic evil character in their group, and I will not disrupt game. Because when you start to ham it up and you start to take it too far, that's where the issue comes in between you and the rest of your group. And the best thing you can do, actually, is be the buddy to your group no matter what your alignment is, no matter how far on that evil pendulum you swing, whether you're just you jaywalk a bit and maybe steal candy from a baby, to full-on bloodfest murder and blood orgy in the woods with the forest creatures. But when you start to ham it up, that's when people take an issue, and anybody in your group who's not playing the absolute goody-two-shoes would be able to get along with you as long as you restrain yourself just a bit when you're playing an evil character. And if you look at real-life history, whether it's leaders we've had, or cult leaders, national leaders, a lot of them, you could look at these people and be like, this guy swings on the lawful evil side of the pendulum. Or even, in some cases, some of them could be more neutral evil to chaotic evil. Elizabeth Bathory, I think she would be neutral evil just by what she was doing. Totally evil. And like a player character, she took it too far. She left clues behind. People figured out what was going on. And they're like, holy shit, we gotta get rid of this bitch. So, when you're playing your character like an Elizabeth Bathory, and you're leaving trails of bodies behind you, and people are having horror stories about your particular haunt, you will attract attention from PCs and NPCs alike. However, you know, there are other cases where, even though some people did see it, if you look back at Jim Jones' massacre there down in Jonestown, you could say he was probably neutral evil, maybe even a little chaotic evil at the end of it when he was starting to lose his mind, but he still managed to gather people. And as an evil character in your group, what you want to do is accumulate people. And by running around and causing mass mayhem, burning buildings down, shaking babies, releasing wild dingoes in a nunnery, this is the kind of behavior that, while it's relaxing and you get tired of being a good guy in real life and you finally get to go, oh my god, I get to just destroy shit, it really does disrupt the game for both the GM and the players. And the players will take notice of this, the GM will take notice of this, and eventually either the group will kill you or the GM will find a way to just snub your character 6 feet under, you're dead, done, no more evil characters ever again. So when you want to accumulate people as an evil player character, what you're going to need is, first and foremost, you don't need charisma. You need a message that will attract and gravitate people towards you. So, again, using the Jim Jones thing, he promised people a better future. You know, he went down to South America. He claimed a plot of land. He shook a lot of hands. He had some really good contacts here in America as well, North America, that is. And he pulled people towards him as a central focus point with a message for a better tomorrow kind of deal. And he kind of lived this up, too. When he was living stateside, he would actually go to people's hospitals. And this was during a lot of really bad blood between white people and black people. But he would still go to hospitals and help out taking care of the black people. And he was playing on hearts and minds at this point. And that, as an evil character, is what you really should be looking for, is to play on the hearts and minds of your potential victims or your potential allies. Now, as far as the player characters are considered, make them your best friends. Do anything and everything possible for them, and always have an excuse if you do accidentally do something evil in their presence and they call you out on it. You'd be like, well, the only way to get information from this guy, we tried every other possible recourse. It was all I could think to do. Maybe a couple of bluff checks, or, you know, you've already bought your way in with the guys that they know that you're on their team, and they're going to be more willing to let moments of slip-ups slide by. So, when you're playing an evil character, remember that most evil personalities that we've had in real life have had some sort of a message. They've multiple people have been pulled in by this message. And so when you take the leadership feat, or if you have a skill or a trait or anything like that that gives you followers or gives you a companion on the character sheet, remember, it's because your character has some sort of ambience about them. They have a message, or they have a purpose that will attract to other people. Also, on the same token, don't play evil stupid. And we've made fun of lawful good alignments, and I'm going to use a lot of terminology from D&D, given that it's kind of the granddaddy of all RPGs, especially when it comes to games that have an alignment system. But Lawful Good is also known as Lawful Stupid, and it gets a lot of flack for being played dumb. You know, the law is everything, and save the world, and yay. But real life, if it's reflected in a role-playing game, there should be a huge moral gray area, and what is evil to one culture is probably not evil to another to a degree. You take certain things, for example, there was a man recently in real life convicted of murder, and we can all agree that murder, by its nature, is evil. And this is predominantly almost the same in any culture, any society, even back in the Dark Ages. If you just hauled off and killed somebody else, that was considered an evil act. And with alignment, it also goes to intent. You know, what's the purpose of your evil douchefaggery? Well, as we were going on with the real life example, the person who committed murder in real life found someone who was a pedophile and murdered them. So now you get kind of into a really morally ambiguous area. He murdered somebody who was a monster. So does this make this man an anti-hero or another monster of another stripe? It was a premeditated murder, but he turned himself in. He actually called the police after the murder was over and said, "Hey, I just killed somebody." So if you take this real-life example of what really happened, one man killed another man in a premeditated murder and then allowed the law to take him in so he could serve his sentence, and he did so without remorse. And his reasoning was, "I took a predator off the streets so children won't grow up victimized." So the more you look into this real-life case, the more it becomes some kind of a morally gray area. And so when you're playing an evil character, you don't want to play pure black versus pure white. You kind of want to ride in that big morally gray area where you do have the ability to have an excuse. In fact, always have an excuse as an evil character. Wow, I'm 12 minutes into this and I kind of lost train of thought. Okay, anyway. Now that my train of thought has re-railed. Is that even conceptually conceivable? Anyhow, when you're playing an evil character, be the best buddy you can to the rest of your group. And this means, and something I've seen dozens of times, do not steal from other player characters. It's really hard not to be meta in a game. So when another player sees you playing a rogue, and the rogue's like, "Oh, I wait till they go to sleep, and during my watch, I go through their bags." Well, the player's sitting right there watching you do this. And it's going to tick them off, and they will meta. They will inadvertently go after you, even if they're told to back off. They don't know about this. They will find a way, reason, or excuse to screw you over because you went out of your way to screw that person over. But if you're riding that morally gray area we were talking about before, and the group knows that you have some sort of plan or end goal, and you've been in this group and established for a while, and that end goal will include benefiting everybody in the larger scheme, you might be able to get away with it. So yeah, you rifled through someone's bag and you took 500 gold pieces, and a couple of game sessions later, you're like, "Hey, remember that 500 gold? Well, I hired some mercenaries, and they went into town before us and started a bunch of fights, and now they're looking for heroes, and it just happens to be with the quest that we're on, so now we're going to be able to get information easier." And so the group might be able to forgive that if you have kind of a far-reaching goal that will benefit the group later down the line. But if you just turn around and just start screwing over your own group, that is a sure way to end all the hard work that the GM has put into the campaign and end your friendship with the other players who are sitting at the table. So really, that should be number one, actually, before trying to ride the morally gray areas. Just don't dick over the other players. It may be fun for you, but the other players, they will respond that you are dicking them on purpose or you're specifically targeting someone. And they won't like this. They will wait till combat starts and the cleric will stop healing you. The fighter will stop interceding on your behalf. The wizard may just cast a fireball spell and be like, oh, well, I can't shape the spell to exclude but one person. I guess you have to be it. I hope your dodge is high enough. The group will turn against you subtly or very, very brutally and blatantly. So, be the best person you can to the rest of your party. Always have an excuse. Ride the morally gray area. And when you do have to commit acts of evil in character, be low-key about it, or do it in such a way that still you have an excuse, or at least you have some route of explaining yourself other than, I just feel like killing someone. If you're running around being a murder hobo, and you just, I felt like killing someone, this isn't really good role-playing. And the whole point of role-playing, of course, is to take on new personalities, try new challenges, be somebody who you are not really, or even be somebody who you want to be, as the standard role-playing wish fulfillment fantasy would go. However, if you just go out of your way to murder everything, leaving trails of bodies behind you, screwing over other player characters, your game is not going to be lasting very long, and the GM is not going to be having a good time, and I cannot reiterate this enough in any conversation. If the GM is not having fun, the group will have no fun. The GM, he's invested a lot of time and effort in this, and if he's not enjoying it, and you turn it into a confrontational game, and this is really, really easy to do with an evil character, if you turn it into a confrontational game, the GM, at that point, looks at the setting and goes, okay, it's him against me. This kind of dichotomy doesn't really work in a game. He's not having fun anymore, and I hear sirens. Stay classy, my hometown. You sad, pathetic monkeys. Alright. So, now that I've been hiccuped by passing sirens. So, when playing an evil character, one of the things that you need to find is what will I do as a character that makes people not want to kill me on sight? Because when you're playing an evil character, most people that I've seen, even people playing good characters or neutral characters, will go out of their way to rob, steal, and do other horrible things. I mean, basically, the player character in Dungeons & Dragons, or Pathfinder, or Rifts, or pretty much any other game that has a group of dudes running around with guns, or a group of gals, or a mixed group, or four guys and an orc. Who knows? Anyway, the predominant thing is often they're running around, they go on an adventure, they shoot everything, and then take all their stuff. Essentially, what you're doing is you're running around killing people and taking their things. And this is kind of like the antithesis of being a hero, is almost every typical player character I see nowadays. I might go on to another tangent at another time, because it is a lot more difficult to play a heroic character than it is a villainous character in the game settings. Because a hero has to restrain themselves, and usually the GM, when they present enemies and whatnot, you have to restrain yourself in character. Whereas when you're playing an evil character, you have to restrain yourself personally, not in character. The character really doesn't have much in the way of restraints. You are restraining yourself. And that is the challenge of playing an evil character, is not to take it too far at the table. One of the other things about playing an evil character is your group and their maturity level, or how much they can handle. There are some topics that, even for hardened people, they are too taboo. You may be an evil guy who runs around and your followers are all hooked on a drug that you manufacture, and you may not even know it, but one of the other players at your table may have known someone who's died of an OD. And they're not going to think the way, you know, they will realize in game, you know, that what happens at the table is different than what happens in real life, but still, it may dredge up bad memories. And this is kind of something you want to avoid when you're playing an evil character, is how far can you take it? And this is a kind of where you have to have a discussion not with just your GM, but with the rest of the group as well. Because an evil character will do, naturally, all sorts of hideous things, and the more evil your character, the less taboos they have. If you decide your character is a cannibal, well, those aren't too common in modern day sense. But still, somebody may, you know, it may send shivers up their spine. You may be an evil clown for all you care, and you may be dealing with someone at the table who has a phobia of clowns, and every time you're running around making a goofy noise and going, you may be spooking the crap out of one of the other player characters and reducing their fun level. So you need to be mindful of other players' comfort levels. Some people cannot deal with rape, and this is very serious. So if you're playing a character who runs around post-battle dicking the people that had surrendered and raping the crap out of them, you may have a player or two at your table who's not exactly kosher with this kind of behavior, whether it is real or fantasy. So your comfort level with the other player or characters when you're playing an evil character is, it's going to hamper you, and you're going to have to restrain yourself personally and impose those restraints onto your character. When you're playing an evil character, some of the things, like I went over, is you want to be in that morally gray area, always have an excuse, know the comfort level of the other player characters, know the comfort level of your GM, and also find a way not to get killed. Because if you look at the classic evil personalities, whether it is in real life or in media, the more sadistic, crazed, and psychotic they are, the shorter their lifespans are. If you take Hannibal Lecter from the Silence of the Lambs, he is an intelligent, far-planning kind of guy. He's not going to go down quickly or easily because he's always got a contingency plan, which is why he's survived so many movies and books. But if you were to take away the special power of Jason Voorhees to just get back up after being thrown into a wood thresher, he's not going to last very long. And this is also the case with a lot of people who just go on psycho binges, in real life especially, and to a degree in most forms of media. Somebody who just goes completely psycho, like a player character does, and just start killing all willy-nilly is going to have a short lifespan, especially if they leave witnesses. And this brings us to role-playing being a group activity. So if you're going on a killing spree in a town and releasing wild dingoes in the orphanage, always a classic, I admit. However, other player characters will be witnesses, and one of them may be that player who takes notes, and you're in a zone of truth later on, and they're like, well, what happened? And they'll be like, fuck nuts over here. Decided to release wild dingoes in the orphanage. But I didn't mean to say that because I swore to keep the secret, even though I'm in a zone of truth right now and have to tell the truth, which means you're outed. So you want to keep your evil activities on the DL. Keep them on the low. Also, you don't want to, like I mentioned earlier, you don't really want to ham it up. If you go chaotic evil, and most GMs won't allow this, you don't. And most chaotic evil characters that I've seen, or even write-ups in books, they take it to the extreme polar. It's like when somebody takes a paladin and plays it to the extreme lawful good polar. And chaotic evil, usually just the player or the book, or any really writings I've seen of it, always take it to the extreme where they're just an engine of destruction. And honestly, an engine of destruction would not last that long in any realistic scenario. Especially starting out at low level in almost any game where you have low hit points, your armor rating is crap, your weapons are newbie tier, and you're just running around giggling like a madman taking pot shots at random people, that's not gonna be good for your survivability. And chaotic evil, and a good example of chaotic evil is actually, strangely enough, and this could be debated, me and Fatimus may go around this, would be Two-Face from the Batman universe. Two-Face is kind of chaotic. I mean, you got the Joker, who's just way off on the deep end, and he's the polar chaotic evil. And look at the henchmen he attracts. Quick, hardly skilled, disposable, and really not good for much other than being shock troops. But Two-Face, on the other hand, he attracts a higher tier and a higher caliber of minion when he does get minions. But at the same token, he lets fate decide who lives, who dies. He lets fate decide decisions. So he's still a bit chaotic. And in a way, you know, flipping the coin could be seen as a lawful activity, but he still leaves it to the fates. So when you're watching the latest Batman movie, and he's sitting in the back of a car, and he decides to flip a coin over who lives and who dies, that's kind of a chaotic, evil activity. Especially when he decides to take another flip for the driver. Just all willy-nilly. That's a pretty chaotic act right there. So, chaotic evil is one of those ones that's always right out because it's always hammed up too far. It's just, I'm crazy because it's liberating. And that's another tangent I gotta go into, where people play crazy characters and take it too far. And lawful evil should be a manipulator, like Hannibal Lecter kind of character. They should be forward-thinking, plotting, planning, manipulating events into a grander scheme, perhaps. Whereas neutral evil should be more of a selfish evil. And I played a character that was really fun. Totally neutral evil, and I had to have two discussions with that character during the gameplay, because the GM kept threatening to change my alignment to neutral good. And I'd have to take him outside, light up a cigarette, and be like, look, dude, let me explain my character's background and his motivations again. Because all during gameplay, I was saving other people's lives. Which may make you think, wait, he's saving other people's lives constantly? Well, this in and of itself was a selfish act, because in the end, being a fantasy game, there was the possibility of immortality. And what better way to cement my legacy than by pursuing immortality, or at the very least, at the best rate scenario, in my own passing, have a legend and a legacy of this great, mighty hero who saved entire towns and would never let anyone close to him perish. So, in the end, it was very selfish. It was all about me. It was just about a legacy trip. It wasn't about instant gratification, which usually most people lean towards with a neutral evil character, is instant gratification. But in this case, I was going for more of a long-term goal of personal gratification, and it would have been wonderful if the game had continued to the point where, in the epilogue of it, my character did attain immortality, go back to a town and be like, hey, let me tell you about that wizard. And they're like, which wizard? And I'd be like, the one with the statue out in front of the palace. You heard about what he did, right? And keep the legend going after he'd already passed on from adventuring and faded into obscurity personally to take some leisure time. With regards to your group, once you set the level of comfort with your group, if you're playing with a really loosey-goosey group that's, you know, they don't give a shit, you know, play whatever you want and go as fucking bug nuts as you want, all bets are off as far as taboos go. But if you got people in your group, especially a mixed group where you may have people of different gender identifications other than just the guys, you know, you may have a gal there with a small child, that's time to scale back the evil. And if you're playing in a public space, you've really got to curb yourself. But once you have set your dynamic with the rest of your group, you know, the how evil can you get thing. So when you have your group dynamic set up, feel free to explore the evil personality. And one of the best ways to do this is you can look at any evil person, and even they have, albeit a twisted code of morals, they do have a code to go by. For example, again, Hannibal Lecter really didn't want to kill Clarice, which is odd, but he had his own reasons. And most evil guys, they'll go after a specific target. Some of them will not go after children. And this is true in real life, fantasy, fiction, media, because that is like one of the greatest taboos, and rightfully so. So one of the things to do is set out like a 5-point list of what your character won't do. You know, they may be a hardened psychopathic killer who stalks prostitutes in back alleys and slashes them up so he can feel alive in between adventures. But will this evil character go as far as cannibalism? No, I don't think so. So that'd be on their list of taboos. They wouldn't do that. Would they attack children? No, because they're defenseless. Would he attack elderly people? No, they're harmless. They've already done the damage they can to the system. You know, there would be some sort of twisted morality as to how far the character would go. And this is, you know, the same as it would be with a good character. Of course, a good character's list of moral what-would-they-do things would not be as big, but not every evil character is going to be out to do drugs. Maybe that evil character, when you're writing up their background, had a friend or a sibling who wound up in the wonderful world of drugs and got screwed over hardcore in some way. So the evil character, although their alignment says, hey, I'm willing to go out and massacre an entire town, won't necessarily start roasting a J because they can. Maybe it would bring back bad memories of that character. Remember, play your evil character like you would a person, but they're just a bit more twisted. Of course, if you're playing any D&D games recently, that's probably not the case, because I've seen lots of people play murder hobos, which is something that needs to be curbed, because apparently that's just the norm now. That's me digressing. Haha. On the segment known as We Digress. So, other things you need to do when you're playing an evil character is treat NPCs like people. Unless, of course, it's Faceless Red Shirt number 5, you can kind of go crazy on that one. But if the GM says, hey, this NPC is important to the storyline, they're a potential ally, treat them the same way the good characters would. Remember, you as an evil player character, you're trying to get in good with the rest of the player characters. You're trying to cement your status with the rest of the group so they don't turn on you. Because when you do commit your evil deeds, these are the people who are going to bail you out. After all, if the group needs to take out, a gang leader in, say, Chi Town in the wonderful world of Rifts, and the evil character decides, aha, I'll rig up a Borg's power drive to overheat, and then it'll explode, and the explosion will be nuclear, and it'll wipe out that entire gang. So instead of wiping out just a gang leader like your party was hired to do back in some other town, the evil guy sneaks into Chi Town ahead of the rest of the group and rigs up a thermonuclear device, and he says, hey, the entire gang was wiped out. They better have a damn good excuse or way to back that up, because, well, in Rift, you've just made an enemy out of the entire coalition if you were not already marked beforehand. So play intelligently and treat NPCs like you would PCs. The world that your GM is creating is a dynamic world, and like I mentioned, Red Shirt number 5 is always disposable, but if the GM involves an NPC, don't go out of your way to utterly annihilate that NPC. In fact, it's probably a good choice to befriend as many NPCs as you can. Remember, cultivating followers is good for a good aligned character, and player characters, of course, will be first and foremost to back you up. But if you're playing an evil character and you're known for doing good deeds, or you have a message that attracts people, such as you're playing a character who's a touch bit of a supervillain, but you want to make a new utopia for all people of your kind, hence mutants. Chances are more mutants are going to come to your cause, and when things go bad, there might be an evil mutant out there willing to back you up because you're promising a better future, or you're working towards a better future for all mutant kind, which is why Magneto makes a really good villain who attracts people, because he's got a message, and he's out there fighting for that message, and it's attracting people. So even though the good guys are not exactly buddy-buddy with him, they will work with him from time to time, even though for a guy like him, the ends justify the means. So don't play evil stupid, which is pretty much what this entire podcast would boil down to, is if you play a bloodthirsty murder hobo, you will have a short lifespan, but if you go at your character intelligently and with a sense of maturity, they may live a little bit longer. You may get more enjoyment out of them because they will be able to build an empire. They may become a great leader and get people to follow them, because nobody's going to follow a homicidal maniac who's just running around killing people willy-nilly. Unless, of course, you happen to be the Joker, but that's somehow just weird writing. So, to play evil intelligent, not evil stupid, take in mind the pointers that I've given out so far. You know, treat other people like people, hide your proclivities, and have some sort of a message that will attract people, or at the very least, deflect your evil nature so you're not suspected. Because all the other rest of the group, they're going to be around you 95% of the time in-game. Unless your game has frequent bouts of downtime where you can pass the GM a note as to what evil things you're doing. And if the GM is feeling devious, he can be like, oh, the group receives a message that there's a serial killer out in the bay known as the Bloody Butcher. And the group goes out to find the Bloody Butcher, and they're collecting all these clues and things, and they find out, oh, the Bloody Butcher is a member of their party. Well, if you've been a really good friend of the rest of the party, and you've gone to bat for them many times, you may have made a few sacrifices for them, or you've pulled really hard to make sure that the player characters are pulled out of the fire before they get axed by other NPCs, your group may turn around and be like, well, we've got to keep the Bloody Butcher secret because he's a friend of ours, and we know that he's trying to do what he does for the greater good, even though he goes about it in a very bad way. And this could open up a dynamic between the player characters, if they're playing maturely, to try to redeem that evil character, to try to bring him to the light side, to turn him from Darth Vader back to Anakin Skywalker kind of ordeal. However, if you play evil stupid, and they track down that the Bloody Butcher is one of the other player characters, and they're like, well, it's worth a reward, and this guy hasn't been that great, and he doesn't have a good message. Yeah, he's got to go. That's about the time you're going to be rolling a new character. So, if you're really aiming to pull for the other characters and help them out, chances are you're going to live longer. And that's a weird offside topic, and a lot of players do this, is the moment an NPC screws over one of the players, they will get pissed. They will seek revenge. They will hate that person, even if that evil NPC comes back later to help them out. Most player characters will reject this help or treat them with animosity until the campaign concludes, even if it was just stealing 5 gold pieces from their coin pouch. So, oh, my adult beverage there. That's oh, certainly yummy. So when you're doing these things, remember to play, you know, the nicest guy you can to the rest of the party. And if an NPC happens to dick over the rest of the party, and this goes for good characters as well, also, you know, with the evil character tangent that I'm going on, give that NPC a second chance. I mean, if they dick you over again, then, you know, that's 2 for 2. But if the GM involves a NPC that comes in, they steal some of your coins, you find them a couple towns later, and they try to make up for it, they apologize, or they try to give you back what they've stolen, or make amends somehow. As the evil character, you'd be like, look, I've been there. I know what it's like to be desperate for food and have to steal. Maybe we can give this guy a second chance. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's another way of playing evil characters in a smarter way. Is the evil character can act like they're redeeming someone when in fact they have ulterior motives. Or perhaps they are trying to redeem that person because the person who screwed the party over has a taboo that the evil character can't stand. So somebody stole some, as an example, somebody steals from the group. The group tracks them down, they find them, and it turns out this person stole money from the player characters because they have a drinking problem. And they needed to make money to deal with the debt to pay off some gamblers because they drank too much, lost a bunch of money, so they stole the money from the player characters to give to the gambling house so they wouldn't get their thumbs cut off. Well, maybe your evil character on your list of things down that you put in the background says, you know, they had a former gambling habit, or they've had problems with alcohol. Maybe alcohol was the catalyst that led them down the path of evil. You know, mom decided to start dating some guy. The guy was a drunken uncle. He was your best friend when he was sober, but when he got drunk, he turned into a monster. Always beat the crap out of the evil character when he was a youngin', and that kind of twisted his view of morality that might makes right. And so when you encounter this person, if he tells a story, the evil character would be like, let's give the guy a second chance. Let's help him break his drinking habit. And at the same token, the evil character can be sitting there looking at this guy with a wicked wry grin while the player is writing down a note that NPC so-and-so has a drinking problem, and if they happen to slip up again, make sure that they die of a problem of having their liver turn into camouflage, harden, and they die of cirrhosis. And as with any character, always take notes, even with evil characters. So the evil character needs to be played a lot like any other person. And in that, evil is not in any way, shape, or form like any other alignment on a character sheet. It shouldn't be liberating. It shouldn't be an excuse to go out and wreck things in a wanton, unadulterated manner. Because again, your character will not last very long if the only way they respond to every stimuli is violence or outright douchebaggery. This doesn't mean that your evil character can't hold a grudge, your evil character can't be a little bit wicked, or your character can't go off the deep end. But as a player, again, you're going to have to reel this stuff back and restrain yourself. Because, again, some things are going a bit too far, and especially if you got a paladin in the group, oh boy, that makes things difficult, I tell you what. So, lighting up my second smoke of the podcast. It's what I do after work. I have my adult beverage and my cigarette while I talk about evil. Again, go ahead, make sacrifices for your group. And being evil, actually, in a mostly good group or mostly neutral group can be a good thing. In the group dynamic, if you play it mature enough, the group can be cohesive. And I challenge pretty much any GM to let me play chaotic evil or diabolical or completely batshit unhinged, and I will still manage to find a way to make them cohesive in the group. And again, roleplay is a group game session. And a lot of evil characters tend to try to be lone wolves. They're like, oh, this is all about me. Or they try to dick around everything possible. And this is not the way real people act. You can look at real life on this one. When you're playing your evil character, look to real life for examples of what your character should be like. If you take into account certain people, and here I'm ing again because I'm pausing and mentally, So what was his name? Pol Pot. Pol Pot wanted to go down as a man of peace. We all know how that turned out. Anybody who's old enough to remember the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia with the killing fields. That was hideously bloody. You've also got Mao the Butcher in China, who thought he was a good guy and he was making a bunch of really crazy laws and things to say, we can't do this anymore. And they killed all the birds, and killing all the birds means that all the bugs had no natural predators and caused one of the greatest famines in that country's history. So evil people like Mao the Butcher, Pol Pot, Stalin, Elizabeth Bathory, Vlad Tepes, none of these people thought they were bad people. That's one of the key things about playing an evil character is, if you are caught, if somebody looks at you and says, oh, that's evil, and you have your excuse already lined up, you've already got your character's ideology of good and evil and your twisted morality, you'd be like, I'm not the bad guy in this. I'm trying to help the world by ridding it of these things which are causing problems for everyone. And villains always have an ability to play certain cards that other players, that other groups of people don't often play to a degree. They do, but evil characters will play these cards and run with them. And one of the best cards a villain has is the victim card. If you imagine, say, there's a gnome, a dwarf, an elf, and a human sitting around the campfire, they're all going on an adventure, and the elf mentions, hey, gnome, why don't you trust the dwarf? And the gnome says, well, that dwarf, he's kin to other dwarves who, when they decided to take over the lands below, above on the surface, they came out of their mountain and they displaced all of my gnomish grandparents. And my grandparents were forced into dwarven labor camps and had to cut wood and make food for the dwarves who weren't used to living on the surface. And the dwarves were able to do this by military might. And it took you elves and the humans and the halflings, and they hired orcish mercenaries to drive those dwarves back into their mountain and make them stop enslaving us gnomes. Well, the gnome, he's mentioning grandparents at that point. He's not directly involved in this confrontation. Maybe his parents were. Maybe they were born during this time. But he's playing the victim card. And an evil character will play the victim card with a glorious, glorious, oh my god, or gods, if it's D&D, they will play it with a glorious sort of panache. They make it theatrical. They make it larger than life, that what happened to their grandparents still makes them a different person today and hurts them every time they wake up and think about it, even though they were not involved in it in any way or shape or form. And knowing gnomish lifespans and dwarvish lifespans, that dwarf sitting at the same campfire wasn't even involved in it. But he's still going to play the victim card to play the heart of the other people sitting around the campfire and invoke their emotion to drive them more towards anger towards the dwarf. Like, hey, that dwarf, you know, your people were responsible for enslaving that gnome over there and putting his people in labor camps. So the evil character has a lot of tools at his disposal. And first and foremost, the best tool any evil character can have, and again, real life serves this as a great example in many cases, the victim card is like the number one card they can play. Maybe that same gnome, in a different scenario, is bald. And bald gnomes are all lower caste in their society, while all the gnomes with a full head of hair seem to run everything. And it may be pure coincidence, it may not be, but that gnome could be like, oh, well, all gnomes with a full head of hair, they run everything. And we other gnomes, we're just considered lessers compared to them. And those full hair-headed gnomes, whatever they're called, they get special things because, you know, they run everything, even though there's less of them. that's just an off the top of my mind example, so I really haven't thought that out because I was pretty much today at work trying not to have my hands sheared off by a machine. But at the same token, I think you get the point that the victim card is really one of the best cards in an evil character's arsenal, because when an evil character is trying to sway an argument, they will try to use twisted logic, they might try to use circular logic, but they're going to try to play to the hearts of their audience, not the minds of their audience. Again, twisted morality. So when you're playing an evil character, don't try to rationalize things to a group of good characters on a sense of morality that's intellect-based, because they're not going to swing with it. That's kind of a philosophical debate that you can have at another time with your game group. I may be wrong on that one, but typically, in real-life scenarios, throughout history, usually when somebody commits an evil act, an evil deed, or is generally just a bad person with a lot of followers, it's because they're playing to the hearts and minds of the people and not to facts and logic. And if they are playing to facts and logic, they've got really good material, really credible sources to back up their argument. So if the opposing side, the good characters, try to counter them, they could be like, well, evidence. Argue with evidence, which leaves the good characters kind of sitting there going, well, he's got us on that one. So as an evil character, in almost any regards, no matter if you're lawful, chaotic, neutral, or any of the other variants, depending on game system, try to play to the hearts of the crowd. Basically, it's like a gladiator arena with words. You're trying to win the crowd. You're trying to get them by the heart. You're trying to put on a good show and not get caught while doing it. Because, you know, a couple of punches may not have connected, but you still made it look like they did. So almost any type of evil character you're playing is going to be a manipulator on some level. Unless you're playing New World of Darkness Slasher, then you're probably trying to go for the juggernaut variety and just kill everything in sight. And that's probably just an evil campaign to blow off steam, because every once in a while the GM has to just be like, you know what, we're doing an evil campaign, do whatever you want, because everybody's got to blow off steam, everybody's had a hard day at work, just roll up an evil character, which happens. But if you're trying to get into a game, or already in a game, and you have a preset world and the GM has already invested a lot of time into this, the other players, depending on the GM's level of backgrounds and stuff he wants for the characters, you're going to have to find a way to weasel your character in that's not going to be abrasive. If you're abrasive with the rest of the group, again, like I mentioned earlier, your character's going to be short-lived. But if you make yourself useful, you be the best hero you can, you stay in that morally gray area, and dip into black occasionally when it's in the best interest of the group, your chances of living will be a lot better. Again, another thing to remember when playing an evil character is don't advertise unless you're playing an assassin. An assassin leaves a calling card, but your character is kind of like an assassin. You're not really going out of your way to advertise yourself as being evil. Nobody really does. Again, evil people, especially in real life, none of them believe that they're a bad guy. None of them. Pol Pot has quoted that he wants to go down in history as a man of peace. The guy who started a massacre in his own country wanted to be known as a man of peace. So, you got that right there. Actually, I don't even know where I'm going with this anymore. Anyhow, that is me hijacking Wheel of Grass, and hopefully I've given you a few things that are food for thought. So if you decide to play an evil character, or if you have a player in your group who wants to play an evil character, remember, you have to handle this with a sense of maturity. Just like somebody who wants to play somebody crazy. And that's a whole other ball of beans and another ball of wax that gets abused way too much. But an evil character they should be handled with a sense of realness, like any other character. Of course, you're going to have the what made them go crazy, not made them go crazy, but made them fall off the deep end and decide, you know, that might makes right, or that certain people have to go, or that certain activities are okay when other activities are not. And the whole good evil dichotomy in the Dungeons and Dragons system is more of a guideline, and it's a flawed guideline, because when you look at what's considered evil in human society, of course, we got theft, murder, rape, robbery. There's a lot of taboos in human society. So humans in most RPGs tend to set the norm as to what is good. They're kind of like the baseline. Whereas in like monster manuals, or even when you're going through other books, you know, they'll have the typical alignment of these creatures, and that is the typical alignment as seen by human society. So if you're playing a group of orcs, what is considered good and evil to orcs may be very different from humans. Perhaps the game system you're setting up, where the half-orcs have decided to build a commune for just their kind, what they consider good and evil, maybe they value honor, they value tradition. However, life is cheap to them, so ritualistic murder or honor killings are perfectly acceptable, whereas in human society, those would be right out the door. So for the orc society, they would consider an honor duel over just a stupid slight to be a perfectly valid and good thing to do, because otherwise you lose your respect from your fellow half-orcs and the other orcs that are living in the commune. So more, as I said, it's very ambiguous. Very ambiguous. And just to sum it up, is the evil characters have to be handled maturely. Evil characters have to have backgrounds like everyone else. Evil characters should, if possible, be in that wide range of gray between good and evil, and only really indulge in that evil when it benefits the rest of the party. They should not be abrasive. They should have the same morals as everybody else, but twisted. In some cases, very twisted. And evil people should not believe they're the bad guy. Very few evil characters in fiction have ever come forth and said, "I'm the bad guy." And in real life, nobody really walks forward and says they're the bad guy. In most cases, there's a few cases here and there, but they are exceptionally rare. Don't play a murder machine. Play intelligently. And that pretty much sums up the last hour of podcasting. And to answer a question that came up at the end of this podcast, I'm going to answer a question now. And that is from a homie of mine I used to game with down at the game shop. He goes, "Hey, what microphone are you using to record with?" I picked up this really cool Yeti. It's silver, and we call it the Robocock, because it looks like a giant... I mean, if Robocop had a dick, this would be what would pop out of his codpiece plate. So yeah, I'm using a Yeti serial blah 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 thing, and it says blue on the front. It's a really snazzy microphone. It costs $140 MSRP. I got lucky, picked it up for $70, and this thing is super intense. See, I just inhaled, and the microphone picked that up, and I'm sitting about 3 feet away from it. You can probably hear the traffic outside. The neighbor's stomping upstairs. This thing records everything. Everything. So, that's the microphone I'm using to answer that question. And again, Kazrakan is doing his deal with Purple Hippo, was it? Oh, yeah, with Purple Hippo. And they're doing the Extra Life thing. So, as part of my shout-out to them, go to https://www.extra-life.org, and that's where they're going to be doing their Extra Life. They're doing their stream event on YouTube, but you can find them on Facebook And hey, I'm giving them a bonus shout out because that's pretty cool of those guys to have one of us guest on their show. Anyway, that's We Digress for this week. And next We Digress, hopefully, will be Darth Blasphemous. He did a massive. We almost got 2 hours of audio with Fatimus just going off on everything. It was glorious. So he may have to split that up into a two-part show. And holy crap, it is funny as shit. I'm serious. Like, not shit when you step in it, but like shit when somebody just in front of you steps in it and you don't like that guy. Hilarious. So he's going to come out of the gate swinging when he finally gets to releasing his We Digress segments. But again, I'm hijacking the show for this week because he's got real life aggro. So thank you for listening, and outro sound effects and ending right now. Peace.